Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we in God's house today? Come on, praise the Lord. Let us everyone praise the Lord today. Hallelujah. We just bless you for the opportunity to be here today, and I am always so honored to be back home. I love CIU, and everybody that knows me knows that I love CIU, and it's just such a blessing to be here. And it's an honor. I can truly say that God has blessed me to be here today. And I thank your awesome president. I thank Dr. Rogers, who is becoming a legend in his own right. And I thank Brother McCall and everyone that had something to do with me being here. It's just such a blessing. If you would, let us pray and we can move into our message. Father, we thank you, we bless you, and we honor you today. I just ask you, Lord, that you would speak because your servant is listening. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, let them be acceptable to you, for you are my strength and you are my redeemer. The title of my message today, it says, Unity Begins With Me. And I'm taking it from Psalms 86 and 11, and I will read this one verse of scripture to you. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. And I want you to think about this the entire time. Unite my heart to fear your name. When I asked Dr. Rogers what the theme was, and he texts back one word, and it is unity. And it's a beautiful thing because when we talk about unity, there's so much that is attached to it. It's not a simple thing, but it's something that we have to work through, and it's an inner work. You know, today is, it marks the first week of what African Americans call Black History Month. And this is a particular month where we pretty much set aside, we honor those who have gone before us and some who are still present with us who have made significant strides, those who have made a difference, we believe, within our community. And so today, I have to say to you that it's a special blessing for me to be here during this particular time because I believe that my life is making a difference in the world. But this school made a tremendous impact in my life. So much so that when I would sit and listen to other students and they would talk about, they would say these things about, you know, I applied here and I applied there and I decided I would come here because of this. I didn't have a story like that because the Lord had whispered to my spirit even before I had fully given my heart to him that I would one day be there. I would pass by this university one summer when I was a student at the University of South Carolina, and one day he whispered, you will be there. And so it was like a no-brainer. As I felt the Lord calling me and leading me, this was the place. And so today I say thank you, God, and I say thank you to CIU. But what I want you to know is that Black History Month is something that is significant really for most people of faith. And it's significant because that's the time that the church really unites and they come together and it's a very celebratory time. And what I love about it is that I grew up in a small town in a small Baptist church, but it seemed like there was a fire that was kindling during Black History Month. People would dress in African attire and they may have never been anywhere outside of the United States, but for some reason they would find something to put on that looked African. And we would have all these dinners and it would be covered dish. It would be, some Sundays people would come and they'd say, we're taking you back to the old landmark, where they would sing all these songs. And something that I truly loved, I love worship. I love to sing in worship. I could just go to another place. But what I used to love is to hear what they would call the Jubilee Choir. Do you all know what I'm talking about? And it would be an old deacon, and he would have the Bible or he would have a book, and he'd say, come and meet a number 23. Come and meet a number 23. And what he would do, he would begin to actually recite the stanza. Then the choir, who was the first voices of a cappella that we as African Americans know, we would begin to sing that song, and they would be stomping their feet and clapping their hands. And that was the music. Today, that's almost a forgotten art, but you can find it when our people gather during Black History Month. I just wanted to throw that in there because I want you to know from whence I've come. Because one song we used to always sing, and I'm sure everyone who is African American in here knows, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the everlasting arms. We learned that God would not fail us. And the good news for you today is that he's not going to fail you either. He will not fail you either, no matter what your circumstances and your situations are. But he has left us with this assignment. And this assignment that we have is that we are to go into all of the nations and make disciples. But tell me, how can we do this when we're not united? How can we truly know him and make him known if we truly have not examined our hearts and what that means to us? And that's what I want to do. I want to do a little bit of surgery with us today. Because we have this motto all over this university, to know him and to make him known. And the first thing that I will say to you is that I understand where you are, whether you're a seminarian or whether you're in the undergraduate program, whatever. I understand where you are. And one of the things that I recognized in my journey here, and I took the long way, I took one class at a time and then two, and I realized I may as well have taken them all at the same time. But anyway, the truth of the matter is God was working out some things with me. And I'm sure he's working out some things with you, because when you decide to come to CIU, you're really telling the world, I've already acknowledged Christ, and I know that he has a purpose and plan for my life, right? You're already saying that. But in the stillness and in the quiet times in your own prayer closet, you know that there are things that are hidden issues. There are things that we don't necessarily deal with. And so when I think about unity, and I think about in the words of John the Revelator, he said, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne. How can we get there? How do we get there? When we have obstacles, when we have issues that are keeping us apart. And that's what I really want to really delve in today. I was told that perhaps it would be a good idea if I was to refer back to this really good book that I know about called Petty Pain. I don't know if any of you know about this book, but the author graduated from this seminary. And the issue of this book is that it is dealing with something that we call offense. An offense is something that we all as believers have dealt with. And you know, I have been around a lot of religious people that say, oh no, that didn't bother me at all. You know, I'm done with that. We don't even talk about that anymore because it doesn't bother me. And I remember as a little girl saying, liar, liar, pants on fire. Didn't y'all say that? Because that's the truth of what happens many times. That's why we don't go across the aisles. That's why we go to different churches every Sunday. That's why there is a family conversation that says one thing, and then there's an action before other people. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to get under all of our skin, because none of us have arrived yet. And when we're here at CIU and other seminaries and Bible colleges, there's something that we all like to hide, and it's that hidden thing called pride. See, many times we'll see that someone's going through something, and we want, and I can remember many times saying, well, can I pray with you? Oh, I'm good. And all the while, I can see in the spirit, they're dragging bags back and forth. And then we come to this beautiful altar and we kneel. And sometimes we say, Lord, I'm laying this at your feet. And I trust you. I believe you, God, that you can do all things. And what you've done for somebody else, you can do it for me. I know you can. And as soon as we say amen and we stand up, we pick up the issue and we take it back to our seat. Can I get an amen in here? Are we in church today? Come on, amen. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen, and I know it's true because I'm not the only one who has experienced this. We must be honest. We must be people who have integrity with God. And what I have found is that the more honest that we are with God, the more that we can be honest with one another. So when we are afraid to tell a brother or a sister in Christ that I need some help, when we are fearful of that, God can't fully use us to the capacity that he has poured in us, that he has committed to us. We must be transparent. And we should not be afraid of what someone else has to say. And if you are like me, I suffered for that for a while because I was concerned about staying in the lines. I was the little girl that when you gave me a coloring sheet, if I went out of the lines, I'd raise my hand and say, can I get another paper? I messed up. And then it took me over 40 years to realize it's okay to color outside the lines. In fact, there are times that you color outside the lines that the canvas is even more beautiful when you're done. But I did not understand that. So I'm saying to us today, let us be real. Let us be authentic. Let us be honest about what we're carrying on the inside. When the Lord began to deal with me on this particular book, Petty Pain, he began to truly minister to me about myself. And I kept thinking, I said, you know, pride started rising up in my nature. And I'm like, well, it's really not for me. I was preparing this stuff for somebody else. But if you serve the true and the living God, he will make you uncomfortable. And he only deals with you according to how you are ready at the time. So as I had done all this research and all these people I had counseled, he said, now I'm going to deal with you just a little bit. So he began to truly show me places in my life that I make choices to do what was the God thing according to the clique. Or according to the leadership, but not according to the Holy Spirit. You hear me? He began to show me how I had allowed offense to stand in the way of developing relationships with people that may have tried to insult me. He showed me how I had been offended because someone called me out of my name and I X'd that person out and they didn't know it. I would always be gracious and kind, but to me, I don't like you. Am I the only one? No. I was offended. When the Lord gave us this commission, he did it with full knowledge that we have a soul, and our soul is so very fragile. Our soul holds all of our life's experiences. Our soul remembers who hurt me, who violated me, who ignored me, who spit on me, who cursed me out. Our soul remembers that. But when we have been born again, we are new creatures, but it takes a while for the soul to catch up. That's why Paul said to do what? To renew our minds. So that we could be transformed. But I found out that there is something on the inside of us like a default button. That when we get to the hard things, what has been defaulted in the soul begins to operate. And praise the Lord, everything is wonderful, so much better than I was before. I am so blessed and highly favored. We learn the vernacular of the church. But the essence of the vernacular, it is true, but is it applicable to us at that time? That's what we need to ask ourselves. So the Lord gave us this commission. And Jesus also said to us that a house divided is unable to stand. Now we know that if we look at things in the natural and the spiritual, for those people who are not spiritual, and I talk to them all the time, they're trying to figure out what in the world is going on. And it's the best evangelism piece in the world. I say, do you know Jesus? Well, if you don't know Jesus, let me tell you so you can figure out some things about what's happening. We recognize that in the spirit, we are getting closer and closer. We recognize this. There are what's called labor pains. And for those of you who are mothers, you know what that's about. That hurts. But there is a preparation for something so great and so beautiful to come forth. And that's what's happening now, but we're not ready. We are not ready. And I say that not to beat us up, but I say that to encourage us that we can be ready. How many of you want to be used to the fullest, to the maximum, to what God has for you? How many of you really? Everybody should say me. If you're here, you ought to say me. I want to be used by the Lord. But he wants a vessel that he can use. He wants a vessel of honor. He wants a vessel that has been cleansed, as the song was singing, purify my heart. He wants that heart to be pure and not be divided. Before Jesus went to the cross, in John 17, and if you haven't read it, if you're at CIU, I know you have, but I want you to sleep with that chapter, John 17. Around the 9th through the 17th verses, Jesus is just before he was going to the crucifixion, and he was praying to God, and he was like, Lord, I've done what you've told me to do. Glorify yourself in me. But what I love is that he began to intercede for us. He began to pray for us. And his words were so beautiful in that I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. What he was saying is that I want you to make them strong in the world. I want you to make them as shining lights in this world. I need you to protect them and protect them from evil, from the evil one. And people have all of this that they go back and forth about when it comes to is he Lucifer, is he Satan, is he the devil? Well, who is he? The spirit of darkness. We have to be protected. And Jesus knew that we would be weak, that many times we would be deceived. And in fact, there are some characteristics of the enemy that I do want to share with you before I go any further. There are three facts about Satan. One, he is a deceiver. Two, he uses devices to work against us. He deceives and he uses devices. And three, there is no greater depth that we know of that he will not go. In other words, don't ever think that you've got him figured out, because he always has a plan that's much greater, much bigger than what you even thought your last issue was with him. And so what ends up happening is when Jesus prayed for us and he said, keep them, protect them from evil. So much of the time we have looked at this and we have considered evil from the outside. But have we really recognized the evil that still dwells on the inside of us? I know this isn't popular. And this is just the way the Lord works with me many times, is to get under people's skin. Because for us to truly be transformed, we cannot preach a skipping gospel. Because when you have decided that you are going to serve the Lord, you become a moving target for the enemy. And we need to know what forces are working against us. And we also need to know who is working for us. So today, when we talk about unity, I'm talking about unity within ourselves. Is my heart divided or not? Because when our hearts are divided, we'll say one thing and we'll do another. When our hearts are divided, we'll love the Lord, but it's something about doing His will that makes me upset. I just can't seem to do it. When we are divided in our hearts. So the first thing that I want you to look at is how to unite yourself. And first, it is to be humble before the Lord. Submit to God, as James says. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In other words, when you submit to him, you submit to the authority of the Lord in your life. Many of us say that we serve the Lord Jesus, and he's the Lord of our life. But did you ask him before you said that? Did you ask him before you went over there? Because the Lord will direct your steps. He'll direct your paths. But when our hearts are divided, we're unable to clearly hear him or respond with a yes, Lord. Am I making sense to you? But what I found are some of the hindrances that we have, and they go back to this subject called offense. When we are offended, all of us can associate offense with a time that somebody hurt my feelings, a time that maybe I felt that I was not treated the way that I should be. And we began to build this fortress around ourselves. And what I want you to get in your mind, your spirit, of what happens when we are offended. When we are offended, we end up being entrapped. I want you to think about a hunter. And when a hunter, my father used to deer hunt. And he used to hunt almost anything that was edible to eat that was on four legs. And many a day, I didn't have a brother, but many a early mornings on Saturday when it was cold, he would suit me up and I'd look like a hunter too. And I would watch him and my uncle, and I'd go out there and I'd watch them set traps and all kinds of things. And I could always remember they would set a trap in such a way that you could not see the actual trap. And I'd say, well, why you put that over it? He said, shh. And then later he would come back and tell me, he'd say, you see, when you set a trap, when you bed that thing, the animal can't see any of that metal. In fact, he needs to not know that there's anything there so that he can just walk in it. And we spray that stuff because it has a scent that that animal likes. And that's what happens when we are offended. The enemy has laid a trap. He studied our ways. See, God knows everything, but the enemy knows our behaviors because he watches us. And he knows what we have not worked out, because though you may not tell anybody, he knows what you're reading. He knows what you might be fussing about. He knows what your triggers are. He knows what makes you cry. So at the right time, he'll allow you to walk in a trap that's already been laid there for you, because we have not dealt with that issue. See, in that trap could be pain. See, some of you may have relationship issues. Some of you may have been raised in homes that just hated people of other ethnicities. Some of you have. And there were times when I was here at CIU, I realized, wait a minute, everything that went on in my house that I grew up in wasn't holy either. My mother had some words that she would say. And I can remember a little girl saying, Mama, don't talk about people like that. She says, close your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what they did. Anybody else have a mother like that? That you as a child with a pure heart try to say, Mama, don't go there. And she said, but you don't know, because my mother was dealing with an issue, a trap that kept her from dealing with certain types of people. because of something that had happened in her life. And so when we have this issue that keeps us separate, that keeps the church separate, and then we think about this assignment that the Lord has for us, we then have to ask ourselves, well, God, how am I supposed to overcome this issue in my life so that I can do this? Or, Lord, can I take this issue with me and then do this? He doesn't want us to take that issue with us. He wants to be the one to heal that issue. In other words, if you're sitting in a boardroom, if you're a member of a board or in a class or a committee, and things are going a certain way, and you choose to have this attitude, I'm not even going to vote because I know how these people always do. It is not necessarily those people that has the issue. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is you that may have the issue because you've got to deal with that thing that's festering on the inside. When we are offended, we find ourselves being trapped by assumptions and refusing to admit when we are wrong. How many people in here, someone tells you something and it's like over and over again, I got it. I know. Nobody in here like that? I know the church is full of people like that. I got it. I don't need any help. Because we won't look within. But my message for you today is serve the Lord with a pure heart. My message is that there is nothing that I have ever encountered that Jesus is not the answer, because he is. Jesus is the one that can heal our wounded souls. See, just because you're at Columbia International University, it doesn't mean that you don't have issues. What it means is that you serve a God who can handle every issue that you have. What it means is that you can stand up and you can walk. You don't have to lay at the pool and continue to make excuses. See, what happens is that many times we graduate from this place and we have it all up here. But when we get pushed out there to begin to minister to other people because we have issues in here, it stays here and it never works its way down here. Because there is something that is covering our heart. We have been offended by something, someone, a system. And God is saying today, release it and give it to him. Let him take control. I bless you today, and I honor you. I thank you for staying and listening to this message, because I know that God has a purpose, and he has a plan for each person that's here. And if you don't mind, would you please stand? Let us pray. Because God wants more from each one of us. The Lord wants us. He wants us to be so dangerous to the world that people will think twice about the things that they say and the things that they do. We must be about the Father's business. We must be about the Father's business.
Before you pray, this is a grad that is going deep with God. And that's been our theme this year. I want to say something to you, students. I have been so offended in a moment of authenticity here that I was in my room for almost a month in desperation and despair because of what someone did to me. My family thought Dad was done. The pain was so deep, the hurt so real. I know what it is to be offended, but I also know what it is to have Jesus do a work in my heart.
Amen.
And purify me and cleanse me to where today I can serve you and serve our Lord. And if you'll read her book, in fact, anybody who wants that book, we will buy it for you. The book's called Petty Pain. Hold it up for us. With Corona, I don't want to touch it, okay? But if you want her book, Petty Pain, and you will read it, we will buy any student here that book. You just come over and you see Andre or James or Trey. These guys will make sure we get you a book. It's a powerful book. God is working in me through that book right now. And Prez is going deep. I've read it and I've reread it and I've read it and reread it. And God's taking me somewhere. And the only way our world is going to become a better place. It's not going to be through some organization. It's not going to be through society, social issues being resolved. The only answer is dealing with offense and Jesus doing that work in our hearts. I am convinced of that. And God's working on me. Join me in reading that book. We'll get it for you. If you want it, let us know. Or you can email me, mark.smith@ciu.edu. Prez, we'll get you a book if you want one. I'm going to ask Miss Margo to pray for us today. Thank you.
All over the room before I began to pray, I just ask that you would close your eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you individually. This is between you and God. No one else. Father, we come today. We love you. We praise you. We bless you, God. We honor you. There is no one else like you, and your ways are better than life. But we come before you with brokenness, God. We recognize that there are issues, matters of the heart, that you're standing and you're waiting to repair, to heal, to deliver your people from. So, Father, right now, we just ask that you would search us, examine our hearts, examine our ways. And everything, Lord, whether it be thought, attitude, or deed, any and everything that is unlike you, we ask you, Father, that you would purge it, that you would cleanse it, that you would remove it. We stand before you wanting to be transformed for real. We really want to be like you, God. We really want to have that heart. That heart that would love the loveless. That heart that would be willing to forgive without anyone ever asking for forgiveness. Father, we want to be an example to others that our faith really works, that people can see you working in us in spite of ourselves. Father, we commit ourselves, our hearts to you, and we ask you, Father, show us the way. Help us. Because we want our heart to be united with you. We want to be in alignment with you today. We thank you, Lord, for every experience that we have gone through. We have many victories and we have many sorrows. But God, you are the one who is able to lead us in triumph through them all. So we give it all to you today. And we thank you in advance for what you have done before and what we know that you shall do, because you are the God who is able to keep us and to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. In Jesus' name we pray and we agree. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.